Hello everyone and welcome back to the Mouth of the Time podcast brought to you by the Shields Gazette. I'm Dominic Skerr, joined as ever by Miles Starforth to discuss Newcastle United's start of the season, the transfer window and plenty more over the next 15-20 minutes or so. But first of all, Miles, for the first time this season on the Mouth of the Time podcast, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. It's been a while. I guess that says it all. It's been a hectic few weeks. Has been a bit of a breather this week, but certainly the first few weeks of the season, there was no let up really, and there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, a lot of midweek games, things like that, good results, transfer news, and things like that. In August overall, and obviously the Palace game at the weekend, the first weekend in September. What have you made of the opening six games of the season, plus the Carabao Cup game as well?
Obviously, I think there's a frustration in terms of some of the results, and I'm sure we'll talk about the referee and the VAR decisions. But the key takeaway for me is that they've been competitive in every game. They've been in every game, and they've played very well at times. And I think it was quite interesting listening to Eddie Howe at the weekend after the Palace game, and he was kind of asked about the contrast to the back end of last season when the team was winning games, back to back wins, and he said actually the performances have been better this season, even if the results haven't. And he spoke about playing a counter-attacking game last season from the position they were in, and they did have to play that way. And there's been a bit of a transition to more an aggressive front foot game, and we've seen that. And we've seen the way they took the game to Manchester City, especially. I've seen them go away to Anfield, play very well for a half, then spend a half on the back foot. There's a lot of positives there, even though the results, you know, we both know they should have a few more points, and that's mostly due to VAR and referee and so on. But positive so far.
Yeah, you mentioned that Man City game. I mean, it's hard to think of a Newcastle team getting at a team like Man City over what was the best part of an hour, really, in that game. That's probably the highlight of the season so far in terms of a match.
There's obviously different ways to play. We saw Rafa have his way of playing against Man City in that home win. A very different type of performance, very different tactics. But we've never seen them attack them like this. Obviously, I'm not sure Steve Bruce entirely knew the way he wanted to play an idea of how he wanted to play teams like that, but we've seen a clearer idea now of the way Newcastle United are going to attack these kind of fixtures from going forward.
Yeah, and you say Eddie Howe's impressed with the level of performances of the side. It's just one too many draws. One thing to Newcastle's credit, they didn't do last season under Eddie Howe. They didn't draw too many games. It was either win more often than not and a few defeats. It's just one too many draws this season, do you feel, so far anyway?
Yeah, again, there's reasons for that, but and again, also what's more impressive if you look at the last few games, they've been without Guimaraes, been without some maximum, they've been without Wilson. Those are the players that turn draws into wins, and they've been without them, yet they've still been competitive.
Yeah, and you touch on the injury issues there. It's disappointing that so early on in the season we've got so many key players out, even Jonjo Shelvey in pre-season, serious hamstring injury. And then you've got, like you say, Bruno, Alan St-Maximin, Callum Wilson. You couldn't almost handpick three more important players to Newcastle to be without so early in the season.
Yeah, we're not being disrespectful to anyone else in the team, but if they are three of the most important players in this team, three match winners, without a doubt. Callum Wilson, so important to this team, even now, following the arrival of Isak and then Sam Maximum. And we've seen some glimpses of form from him. You know, second half of last season, certainly even under Howe last season, we didn't see the best of him. We've seen kind of glimpses of him and what he can do. Look at Wolves, look at a couple of other games, some of the moments he's had. And of course, we all know Guimaraes, he kind of joins everything up in the middle. Such an important player in that position. So to be without those players and go into those games, you know, going to Anfield without them, it's been. I think Howe will be heartened how other players have stepped up and how, as a team and as a unit, they've still been competitive.
Yeah, is there any indication based on what you've been told by Eddie Howe, the players? Obviously, Bruno did an interview yesterday or through the week with a small update on his injury, when these players could be back for Newcastle.
Well, if you remember at Wolves, he was talking about Guimaraes being a couple of weeks, and here we are, you know, a couple of weeks away. So I'd imagine he's touch and go for this game. Potentially the same for Sam Maximum, but you would think Guimaraes is the closest to being fit. Wilson, from what Eddie Howe's been saying, is the furthest behind. He's certainly slightly behind the other two. I'd imagine there'd be a lot of caution with him, given his history of hamstring problems, and of course, you know, the second half of the season, that Achilles problem. So I think the hope is there'll be one back, and it'd be great if there was more than one, but you would hope there'd be one involved at West Ham.
Yeah, and won't disrespect a player who was an important part of Newcastle's squad the back end of last season. Emile Kraft, obviously a major injury blow to him. Kieran Trippier being back and fully fit obviously lessens that blow, but it's disappointing for him given how well he played towards the back end of last season.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, we kind of went under the radar almost, you know, to lose Kieran Trippier, you know, a matter of weeks after he joined the club, and he made such an impact in that short space of time. You know, I think Alan Shearer said at a match of the day at the time, he's a future captain. He was playing like a captain. To lose him at that time was given the club's position, was a huge blow. And it's to Emil Kraft's credit that the way he stepped up and performed. And we'd all questioned, I guess, Kraft and previously. Prior to Howe's arrival, we hadn't seen the best of him. He didn't suit some of the kind of systems that were played by Bruce, but he stuck at it. He applied himself, and he played a key part in that role at the back end of the season. So I really do feel for him. It wasn't a great challenge, you know, at Tranmere. We all saw it, and I felt for him, and let's hope he's back at some point before the end of the season.
Yeah, that Tranmere game, despite the win, seems to be taking its toll on the Newcastle squad. But we're a week since the transfer window closed, Newcastle obviously four major signings in. Just, Miles, what are your thoughts on the business done by Newcastle as a whole?
Overall, it was a very good window. Obviously, the deadline day was a non-event, but I think I wrote at the time the transfer window as a whole was a big event. We haven't seen a summer like that, and it's easy to forget that given the frustration that there wasn't another player coming in very late, you know, late in the day or on deadline day. You can't really argue with any of the players. Matt Target, of course, was a no-brainer. Nick Pope's come in and done very well. He's already, you know, in every game he's made some important saves. Even in the games where the team's been on top, he's been there when they've needed him. Obviously, Sven Botman looks the part already, quickly set onto the team. He's a huge presence, you know, in terms of winning. He's winning everything in the air. And then Isaac, we saw, you know, a glimpse of what he could do at Liverpool. Didn't have such a great game at the weekend, but there's going to be a period of adjustment for him as he adjusts to the team, to English football. He's not a player that's going to be a particular threat in the air, so the team's going to learn about him, how to supply him. But very positive. Of course, Eddie Howe would have wanted another player, but I think we've got to remember that this is going to take a number of windows to get this squad to where we all want it to be. And obviously, the club's constrained by the profit and sustainability rules of the Premier League. Even if the owners, the ownership group have got the money, they can't spend everything at once. They're mindful of what's happened to other clubs. You could go big in one window, and then you're really hamstrung for subsequent windows. It was interesting, Eddie Howe, the other week. He did admit they'd gone slightly over budget this summer. You'd hope they've left themselves some room in January. I'm sure they have. If you can roftly do the numbers, that there'll be some room for manoeuvre in January. But it's a balancing act, really.
Yes. Roughly £210 million spent in 2022. It's just, you couldn't have fathomed that a year ago. It's almost doubling the price of Newcastle squad almost.
Yeah, exactly. And you remember there's not been players going out of the club to fund these transfers as well. And it's maybe an indictment of where the squad was, that there aren't too many players they could have sold in that time. So a big step forward for the club this summer, I think, in terms of the quality of the squad. Obviously, you can point to the depth, but that's going to have to be addressed over a longer period.
Yeah, and Alexander, so you touched on him before, club record signing, 58, 60 million in that region. That was one that there was sort of murmurs earlier in the summer, but it came out the blue a little bit towards the back end of the transfer window, do you feel?
Yeah, because early in the window, we all thought that he was going to be too expensive for the club. They weren't going to have that kind of that much money to spend on one player, even though the striker was, we know, the big priority. And you just wonder whether the Wilson injury and, you know, going back over what Eddie Howe said last week about going slightly over budget, whether that's going to force their hand. He's here, and certainly Liverpool was an impressive debut, the way he played, the movement, and of course the goal.
Yeah, and is there anything more you would have wanted to see Newcastle do in the transfer window? You mentioned Eddie Howe would have maybe wanted one or two more players in than he got.
I think you'd look at the wide areas, and that was the area for me you'd like to strengthen, midfield maybe as well. But that wide area, and of course the injury to Kraft's an issue. There's cover in Manquillo, but that's another maybe area that could have been looked at.
Yeah, and just looking at the season so far, including the four new signings, who have you been impressed with so far in the Newcastle team these opening six, seven games?
Well, I can pick a few names out the air. Obviously, Pope at the back settled in very well. We all didn't think that was a priority. Dubravka's been a very good servant to this club. He was still at his peak, but Pope's coming in done very well. You look at some of the saves he's been making week in, week out. Botman certainly is impressed. And we've seen others coming into form. We saw, Guimaraes before his injury, some bits of, glimpses of some maximum. And the one I would really highlight is that the role Elliot Anderson's played so far this season, age 19. He's been coming off the bench. He hasn't looked out of place. And he certainly made an impact, I felt, in that last 20 minutes against Palace. The team really needed kind of re-energising in that last push for a goal. And he came in a more advanced position than he played against Tranmere. I think he suits the more advanced positions. He's more a natural 10, I think. But he was playing on the left, just drifting into pockets of space, looking up and delivering some dangerous balls. So he for me, certainly want to watch.
Yeah, and there was question marks over his future in the summer, whether he'd be loaned out again, having done so well at Bristol Rovers last season. But Newcastle seemed to be okay in just cameos, sort of reaping the rewards from keeping him part of the first team. And he looks, I mean, like you mentioned, that last 20 minutes against Palace, a confident player, fearless player that can almost be a difference maker for Newcastle, particularly off the bench. But do you think he's pushing for a start as well?
Well, Howe used that word. He said he's pushing for a start. And he wouldn't have said that lightly, I don't think, knowing Eddie Howe. So, certainly can't be too far away. And he's got that kind of fearlessness, that freshness you get in young players. He works hard, and we've both seen him play for the 23s or 21s they are now. He was an incredible player at that age level, and he's kind of via that loan spell at Bristol Rovers, he's effortlessly moved into the Premier League level. So certainly I can see him starting some games this season.
Yeah, and the Palace game obviously marred by VAR controversy, not for the first time this season involving Newcastle. Would say the less said about the goal disallowed, the better. But Miles, what was your take on it?
Well, at the time, in my press seat, the contrast was knackered on the screen, so I didn't see the replay. I just saw the collision and the aftermath of the collision. I hadn't seen the push kind of live. But then getting back into the press room again that night, having seen the angles, it beggars belief really that goal was disallowed. As Eddie Howe said, it's a goal or a penalty. So it was extraordinary, really. And there's a wider issue in terms of VAR and referees being kind of pressured into overturning decisions and what angles they see. And obviously we've seen quite a lot of discussion about that since the Palace game. And Michael Salisbury, the referee on last weekend, was an inexperienced referee. Was he pressured, having been told by Lee Mason to go and review it? These are all the questions that are being asked. And it was interesting, Amanda Staveley actually spoke this week and said, you know, talked about the discussions with officials, and we know the Premier League's been in having these kind of discussions as well. So we hopefully will get some kind of resolution to this, because not just this game, there was a lot of decisions at the weekend which were questionable. But yeah, as soon as you see the replay, it's pretty clear what happened. Al said after the game, he didn't know the fact that the goalie was still down, that influenced things, because maybe. But yeah, that hugely frustrating. That 2 points, and again on the back of the Liverpool game where we all felt the whistle should have gone certainly a few seconds before that late winner.
Yeah, you can almost point at every Newcastle game where they've dropped points this season as there's been a contentious decision. But do you think it's VAR that's an issue, or do you think it's more the wider sort of officiating, level of officiating in the Premier League?
I think primarily it's VAR, the way it's implemented and used, and yeah, I can only hope it's been addressed and improved. I wouldn't do away with VAR, but it certainly needs improving, because these decisions, hopefully, you know, back at the end of the season, what if Newcastle United miss out on Europe by 2 points? We'll all be looking back on that decision. So let's hope it doesn't prove too costly.
Yeah, you look at it, you touched on it before, that the referee, an inexperienced referee, if he's getting told you want to look at that again, you've made an error, and by a far more experienced referee who's got the use of a replay, it's going to be hard to stick to your guns if you are inexperienced in that situation. Not to defend the referee too much, but you can see why that decision happened. It's VAR that's the error.
I'm certainly joining others in pointing the finger more at VAR than the referee of the day. He was put in a very difficult position, and we don't, you know, and you see one angle certainly, though, it tells the whole story, really.
Yeah, there have been cases Newcastle benefiting from VAR, of course. The Wolves game, for example, that had the Raul Jimenez goal. Ruled out then in St. Maximin.
Equally in that game, though, why wasn't Sean Longstaff given a penalty?
That's true, yeah. So the swings and roundabouts every game. Newcastle, like you say, almost every game you could say, make a case for Newcastle picking up a win, having, if they've got every decision awarded their way. But that's in an ideal world. But moving on, we've got West Ham at the weekend on Sunday. Also, one win in six, both sides, just one win in six in the Premier League this season. West Ham only 4 points, though, to Newcastle's seven. What are your thoughts and feelings going into the game, Laz?
I see it as a winnable game, really. You know, worst Newcastle United teams in recent years have gone there and won games. And given the form we've seen so far, the way they've played, potential to have, you know, a player or even maybe two back. West Ham have done very, very, very well the last couple of years, but it looks to be an opportunity for them. I'm disappointed to be missing it, really. I'm doing the Great North Run on Sunday for the Sir Bobby Robson's Foundation. Link for sponsorships on my Twitter page. So I'm disappointed to be missing it, really, because I sense there's a real opportunity there for the team to push on.
Yeah, do you view West Ham as a sort of key rival for Newcastle, a team they should be sort of targeting?
Yeah, they're certainly in that group, and maybe include Palace last weekend, teams that are kind of just you know, pushing on and challenging for European football. It was interesting, Patrick Vieira last weekend, it was quite clear, you know, that he sees Newcastle United as one of the teams that will be challenging for European football, and you put West Ham United in that bracket as well. And certainly Palace are a strong team too. So you look outside the top four, top five, there's a group of teams which will be challenging, and you'd hope Newcastle United be one of them.
Yeah, it's the sort of style of play Eddie Howe's implementing is clear to see. I think Newcastle a couple of weeks ago topped the table for winning back the ball in the opposition's third, touches in the opponent's box, the right up there as well. The change of pace we've seen from Eddie Howe's side, the playing almost like, even if the personnel isn't quite all there just yet, they are playing like a top side, if you like, even if the results aren't coming.
Yeah, and I think one of the key things is that he's had a full pre-season. He inherited a team last year, and it was about being pragmatic, playing in the counter-attack when necessary. They weren't as fit. Remember Amanda Staveley came in when following the takeover and said, look, the players aren't fit enough. And that was they tried to address that through the season. But what we're seeing now, and I got a look at them in pre-season, behind the scenes, and it was phenomenal, really, the intensity of what they were doing, certainly in Austria. And I think we're seeing the benefits now. They can aggressively, press high up the pitch, compete with the very best teams in this league in terms of, intensity, running, and hopefully that will yield a lot of points this season.
Yeah, and just before we wrap up, we're looking at the start of the season. Newcastle, as positive as it is five games without a win in the Premier League. How important are these West Ham United at home to Bournemouth, these two games before the international break, just to sort of judge the start of the season, whether it's been a good start, poor start, whatever?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to say that they need two wins to go into the break, but certainly, they need points and need a win to carry some kind of momentum into that break. Really set themselves up for the next block of games. I think there's an opportunity there in these next two games, and let's hope they take it.
Yeah, and well, I guess we'll wrap it up there. Miles will be at Eddie Howe's pre-match press conference tomorrow morning, so you can catch all the updates from there. And I'll be at West Ham on Sunday. So head over to the Shields Gazette website for all the updates and information in there. Obviously, Miles will be doing the Great North Run on Sunday. Best of luck to him. Be sure to head over to his Twitter page for more information on the Sir Bobby Robson Foundation fundraiser he's doing there. You can also subscribe to the Shields Gazette website for unlimited ad-like access to all of our Newcastle United coverage. Just head over to shieldsgazette.com/subscriptions for more information on that. But Miles, thanks as always for joining me. Thank you everyone for listening on the Mouth of Time podcast. We'll see you next time. Cheers.